A very good morning to you. It's a Friday morning, and the 2nd of May. It looks like in some part of the country is slowly getting much colder. Yeah, so winter definitely has descent. It's already here, starting to feel it. Good morning to you, wherever you are, in this, beautiful, land of the brave. If you're joining us, this is Eagle FM, your 24 hours talk radio station. My name is Michael Silvelli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here. We're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, share your opinion and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. And this is your space. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And if you're just joining us, wherever you are, so Eagle FM is with you, and that's right. It's accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your mobile phone, and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to many other features that you can find on our Eagle FM app. All you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app, and you are good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news, and the latest policy development, and any other news around the country and around the world, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email address and your email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you are a business person and you would like to advertise your business or have your event promoted, we would like to make it easier for you to grow your business. So our complimentary apps, we have our complimentary apps like the Imba and Eagle FM app, my mobile app, are perfect for boosting your product and services to a wider range of consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platform. They are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibly. So now contact us at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So good morning to you. If you just joining us, today is the 2nd of the 5th month, and what happened on this day in Africa? So on this day in Africa, on the 2nd of May in 1963, African leader met in Addis Ababa, that's Ethiopia, to finalize the draft charter for the Organization of African Unity. So the OAU, later replaced by the African Union, AU, was officially established on the 25th of May 1963, and played a really a crucial role in promoting unity, independence, and cooperation among the African nations. And on a very same day, on a May the 2nd, in 1964, Zambia, then known as Northern Rhodesia, gained independence from British colonial rule. The country's first president, Kenneth Kaunda, led the independence movement. And on the 2nd of May in 1945, during the Second World War, Ethiopian and Allied forces liberated Addis Ababa from Italian occupation. So this event marked the restoration of Emperor Haile Selassie's rule after years of resistance and exile during the Italian occupation. And on the 2nd of May 1994, the African National Congress, the ANC, led by Nelson Mandela, was officially declared the winner of South Africa's first multiracial democratic election. This historic victory marked the end of apartheid and ushered in a new era of democratic governance in South Africa. So the ANC that time secured about 62.65% of the vote, leading to Mandela's inaugural as South Africa's first black president on the 10th of May in 1994. So that we have for you, at least some of the significant events that happened on this day in our continent, Africa. So, and what is our thought of the day here on Unpacking the Day? Holding on to hatred is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So holding on to hatred is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So the saying conveys a profound message about the self, about the self-destructive nature of hatred. So it means that harboring hatred or resentment harms the person who feels it, rather than actually the target of their animosity. So this saying serves as a reminder that carrying resentment only prolongs personal suffering and emphasizes the importance of choosing peace over anger. And hopefully that should be your option today, to choose peace over anger, because carrying it, because harboring hatred or that resentment only harming you, not the person that you are angry at. So today's thought of the day is holding on to hatred is like drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die. So, very good morning to you. If you just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Michael Chevalier. So, when we come back, we get into our first item on the program. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwoord Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. episodes. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good morning. Very good morning to you. Yes, this is Eagle FM, the eye. And you are listening to Unpacking the Day, where we go beyond the headlines to bring you thoughtful analysis on the issues that shape our lives. So where were you yesterday? So today it was a workers' day. So what did you do? How did you celebrate? How did you commemorate the workers' day yesterday? So yeah, yesterday I went to hear the president speaking, addressing the people who came to listen to, you know, to her yesterday at Oshakati Stadium. Yeah, there are a few things that, and there are a few things that I really want to. There are common themes that are actually coming through the president's speech. Yeah, and maybe it's worth looking at those and go a little bit deeper. And some of the things that some of the things maybe the president have mentioned or addressed yesterday, just to see. What are those themes? What are the themes that are actually coming out of the president? Things that she emphasized. It's probably give us a blueprint for, what she really wanna talk, where she wants us to go. So now her speech, it was not a celebration of labor. I think it was a call to action, a blueprint, as I said, for addressing some of our most pressing socioeconomic challenges, from fair wages and workers' dignity to value addition and industrialization. So the president touched on fundamental issues that impact every Namibian. So let's unpack some of these issues and analyze how these priority align with realities on the ground, or maybe perhaps or crush crush with the reality on the ground. So yeah, let's see some of the things that she have mentioned, and you're most welcome to react to that. So later on, so what do you think about some of the of the things she talks about? All right, let's start with her assertion of her assertion that a hungry worker cannot be productive. Hungry worker cannot be productive. In today's also, I think there's also a story by Lois Shimi on the president's speech. If you haven't subscribed yet, So make sure that you subscribe and be able to get some of this, of these stories. So yeah, there is also a story, I think, by Lois, by our Lois, Shimi, on what the president have said, during the, when she was addressing workers on at the stadium yesterday in Oshakati. So there she made an assertion, as I said, let her assertion that, hungry workers cannot be productive, which is true. This is a straightforward truth. But let's dig a little bit deeper. So at its foundation, that's assertion at its foundation. This is a statement. That statement really ties, economic justice, you know, in which many of our worker funders find themselves, that, a hungry worker is someone, you know, many of our workers, they're hungry. So, as I said, it's a statement that ties economic justice to our national development, which means that hungry workers cannot be productive. So, our productive, we need to contribute to national development, you know, and if we are hungry, so we won't be able to do that. So it's really, really, when you analyze that, it has a depth and that profound, element to it, that it ties the economic justice to national development, so that people need to be, you know, taken care of. And she has mentioned that in her speech, workers need to be taken care of for them to be able to be productive. So we have to think. What I'm trying to say is that social justice, economic justice, lead to national development. So, and that is a message to those who provide jobs. It's a message to, business owners to understand that for us to develop, to develop our country, people need to be well, you know, for you to be able to produce, you have to be, on your, what is that, optimal, you know, you have to be optimally well for you to be able to produce that. Understand that economic justice, you know, leads to national, development. So now the question is simply, how can we expect our workers? Basically, the question is, how can we expect our workers, the backbone of our economy, to drive productivity when they are struggling to afford the basic necessities, like food, like housing, like healthcare? So definitely, and that's what I'm saying, that is actually economic justice. If a person have no access, is struggling actually to afford basic necessity like food, housing, and all that, so which is actually economic justice, that may actually hampers or contribute to the way how we then that may contribute to national development as well. So yeah. So something to think about. I thought that it has a profound a depth in terms of that, you know, economic justice leads to that, to national development. So yeah, and the Namibia's minimum wage structures and employment policies are often criticized for failing to reflect the reality of living costs. So this leads to a wider conversation about income inequality. So which, as we know, is a persistent issue. This is a really, really one of the persistent issue in Namibia. So Namibia is ranked as one of the most unequal society in the world. And fair wages are a crucial piece of the puzzle, you know. So that's where we need to start. You know, you have, think about, you know, the CEOs of some companies that actually receiving a 100 and something a month, and the person that the secretary, let's say the receptionist, probably is getting 5,000 or 6,000 or whatever the case may be, less than 10,000. The CEO is about 100 a month. And then, you know, in the same company, you have a receptionist or someone on the desk who is actually getting about 5,000 of, you know, you see that gap. So we have to start somewhere. And this is a big problem. Namibia is, as I said, it's ranked as one of the most unequal society in the world. And if we can start with fair wages, that would be the start. And as I said, it's a piece of a bigger puzzle that we need to put together. And fair wages, it's a very crucial piece of that. So, but the other thing is also that, you know, you have some employers, particularly in the private sectors, argue that operational cost, taxation and economic uncertainty, as they argue that it make it difficult to implement wage increases. And so some of them actually put those thought forward or those argument forward. And are we then that's leave us in a vicious circle where neither workers nor employers see tangible benefits. So you see, if that's the case, so then what mechanism can we put in place to mediate this problem? So, yeah, I think it's something that something that has been going on, and there are also a danger in some companies that implementing this. Some feel that okay, maybe we need to retrench some staff for us to be able then to increase the salary of those who left behind. And so it's, as I said, we caught in a vicious, and also when some of the business, when they don't see, there's that economic uncertainty, you know, sometimes, and that can become, as I said, you know, a problem implementing wage increases. So, and then it becomes, we are caught in a vicious circle where neither workers nor employers actually are benefiting tangibly from this initiatives or from this policy. So, yeah, we have to think what mechanism can we put in place to really mediate this policy, to have it implemented fully, in which both side, the employers and employees, wins. It's a win-win. Should be a win-win situation. Yeah. Now, on to the president's remark about the value addition and industrialization. Namibia is undeniably a resource-rich country. We have diamonds, we have uranium, we have fish, and we have now you know, a growing sector of oil and gas. So, but exporting raw materials has kept us locked in a circle of dependency. For every ton of a raw material sent abroad, we lose out on the potential. So we really lose out on the potential to generate employment and stimulate local economies through maybe through processing and manufacturing. So every ton of raw material, so it's a lose. We lose out on that potential to generate job and definitely to stimulate local economies. So by, you know, through processing, we could be processing this resources ourselves, and through manufacturing as well. So now, exporting unprocessed resources essentially means we are exporting opportunities. Yeah, we are exporting opportunities. It's a paradox. So we are rich in resources, but still face high unemployment rate because of, you know, we exporting these opportunities away. So, and the president's call to move beyond, now the president's call was to move beyond being supplier of raw material. And I think her call is a really a step in the right direction, definitely. And everybody should be on board in that. We should all be dancing from the same tune. But the real challenges, like any other good, well-planned, well-intended policies and other things, so the real challenges lies in implementation. That is the biggest, the very biggest problem in this country. So, and I think that's where we need to focus. Where we need to focus on our implementation of our policies and programs. So maybe, people that are at the end of implementation, sometimes maybe they are not skilled enough to able to execute the policies and the initiatives and the programs and projects that the government want to be implemented. So maybe that's where we need to look at improve that. And that's the other thing is that when we're talking about now, we're talking about value addition. It's all good and well, but you have also to think in terms of, do we have infrastructures? Do we have technical expertise? That's what we're talking about. And also investment needed to establish these industry locally. We really need massive investment to establish those. So, yeah, it's all well and, you know, well said and done. I mean, well said, but, you know, when it comes to really implementation, and it's not just a matter of, there are those factors as well. There are those factors. Infrastructure, and sometimes those infrastructure, like the other time the president was talking about oil refinery, and then the Total Energies was talking about how expensive that is, how financially not viable, you know, financially not viable because of how much you would invest in it, in which you know which would in the end would not be maybe wouldn't bring the return you expected in the way of in depending on how much you put in it. Yeah, you understand. So, but the question here is really about that Yes, we can talk about value addition, we can talk about industrializations, but, you know, we also have to be realistic in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of technical expertise. We need to develop those. It's not that it's impossible, but it's just that, do we have the money? We have to come up maybe with a different way of looking at maybe 20 years from now, and or 30 years from now. And while we can suffer in the moment, maybe we're preparing for the next generation. I think the current generation have to suffer. We have been suffering, actually, so maybe not. Yeah, so we have to suffer to prepare, actually, for the next generation. So, and those are some of the things that we really need to pay attention to as a country. Yeah, so, and here is actually, I think, what we can ask is what sacrifice, and this is what I'm saying, what sacrifice are we willing to make as a nation to achieve this transition? If we want to transit, if we want now to transit, to move from where we are, where we have now, you know, manufacturing factories and all that, and having all what we value addition, maybe facilities and all that, we need to suffer, we need to sacrifice. Are we willing to make, as a nation, are we willing to sacrifice something? What is that we are willing to sacrifice to achieve this transition? Because value addition is not just about policies. It is about long-term commitment and potentially higher cost, as I said, building up infrastructures, training people to be technically expertise, investment, you know, in establishing these industries locally. So, and the other thing is also global competition and also navigating a global competition as well. So, so there's so much, I think sometimes, you know, when you're thinking about, business, an idea, you have these exciting ideas and you think, oh, from your idea. And that's why sometimes when you put it down, well, you have to write your business down. It's only when you know, there's so much to do. But when you have an idea, you get excited. I can just do this and do this. But then when you put it down, you realize that there's so much to do. And that's exactly the same thing. So there is so much to do. It's not that it's not doable. It's just that we need to sacrifice something. We need to sacrifice. And are we willing to wait? Can we go through what we are going through just because we are planning for the future? So. Another significant point raised was the push for diversification into emerging industry like sport, tourism, and creative arts. And I thought that when you look at this administration, that is sectors that all, let's say for example, all other administration before this one never really took seriously, never really seen this as a potential market that requires investment to create maybe employment and opportunities for, especially for young people. So I think this is something that this administration have identified as an emerging industry that they would like to invest in for especially for young people. So sport, tourism, creative arts, so those areas. So now these sectors have definitely untapped potential. But let's not romanticize it. So the development of those industries, as I said previously, require more, it requires more than just an enthusiasm. It's not just about enthusiasm. It requires more. It demands targeted investment. It's also required, I think, policy reforms. And well, your involvement as well, as the president have said, your engagement as well. We need to learn to develop our own community. We become part of the development rather than just give me, you know? We become people who, I think it's a tendency when we coming from apartheid where we were just given, it's not that we were given much, but, when you were just given, you grow into that tendency of just give me, and you're not doing anything. So I think we need to reconstruct our mind, have mind shift, that to develop our community, to develop our country, we as a community, wherever you are, have to be part. You have to be involved. Which the president also talked about. So, take sport. For example, Namibia has produced, I think we have produced world-class athletes, but the industry itself, it lack strong infrastructure and funding. It does lack, but we have, you look at boxing, you look at running, athletics, and what else? Even football, okay? So we have done well, and rugby for that matter. So, but we lack strong infrastructure, we lack strong funding in this area. So tourism, on the other hand, well, you can say it's a double-edged sword. While it has the potential to create jobs, it must be balanced with environmental sustainability. So, yeah. And also then you have the creative art. It's an industry that thrives on cultural identity and innovation. So if you talk about innovation, this is where I think creative art, that's where you have more innovation. But it's often sidelined in policy discussions. I'm happy that the president actually is paying attention to this sector and make it also a priority. So the president's words remind us that diversification is not just about finding new revenue streams. It's about fostering industry that reflect our unique strength as a nation. So how can we champion these sectors and demand the support they need to thrive. So we need to champion that and also demand the support they need to strive. And then finally, he also proposed a manager of justice and labor functions and when you look at it, this seems like a logical move to address social injustice and improve coordination of labor laws. I think, from the surface, it seems like a logical move. Yeah. But managing department, sometimes is easier. How do they say? It's easier said than done. So historically, we know in Namibia, bureaucratic changes like this often face delays, mismanagement, and resistance for stakeholders. So, yeah, it's just something to also think about. So, labor relationship in Namibia have long been you know, faced with a dispute over wages, working conditions, union representations. So the merger could actually strengthen the protection for workers, but only if it's accompanied by strong enforcement mechanisms. So if that's not there, it's just probably same thing in a different package. So and it raises a crucial question. It also raises a crucial question: will this restructuring empowers workers? Would it empower workers, or will it simply create another layer of what do you say, red tape? You know, so. Yeah, so, yeah, so my dear listeners, as we reflect on the president's speech, the key takeaways are very clear. I think it's a fair wages, value addition, diversification, and a strong worker protection, are not just aspiration. They are necessities. For Namibia's future. So, yeah, but turning these ideas, that's also another thing, but turning these ideas into reality will require all of us, require everyone, government, private sectors, civil society. It requires everyone to work together. So, what are your thoughts on these issues? Do you feel now, yesterday it was Workers' Day. Do you feel your workplace values your contributions? Do you feel that your workplace values your contribution? And what role can you play in driving change we need? So you have a role to play. What do you think? What role can you play in driving the change we need? So, you may come through, and if you listened also to the president yesterday, so what is your reaction to that? And maybe other who address other places, who are maybe, you know, other speakers on the day. Yeah, so you're welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66-091, 0833-66-091.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana Longeshifa ya is Yuikemoshiwana. Iye moyawo otaingo tisamweni. Anageshifa yanamibia ombitombwa nawa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo ikelefe media house. Ngwe tuende timeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Ikele FM. Go high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something the media will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
It is Friday. It's a Friday, the 2nd of May. We're already the first week of the 5th month. Yeah, so yesterday it was Workers' Day. So where did you spend your as a workers, what did you do? So what did you do? My question is also, you know, being what are your thoughts of some of the issues that the president have highlighted? He talked about the issue of fair wages. He talked about the value addition. I think it's something that Madam President. she talked about the value addition, a topic that she really, wherever she goes, she speak about, diversification also came out also through her speech as well, and also strong workers, worker protection, mechanisms, that help workers, that can bring social justice, economic justice to workers. Yeah. So those are some of the issues that, she have highlighted through her speech. So what is your reaction to that? What's your take of those issues? And generally, do you feel that your workplace values your contribution? And also for you, what role can you play? Because sometimes, as I said, we get into this tendency of gimme, 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 gimme. So what role can you play in driving the change we need? So we are looking at things need to change. You know, what can you play in driving the change we need? Our telephone number, as I said, you can come through, on that item. Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So you most welcome to come through and have your, we're reacting on the president's speech, president's address, yesterday's, at the Osakari Stadium when she was addressing the workers, in Oshana regions. So, yeah. So what is your take? What is your reaction? And just the day, generally the day overall, how did the day went wherever you are? In Rundu, in Kidmanshoop or Mariental, or at the coast. How things went? How was your day like? How was your workers' day like? And the significance of that day. Yesterday I have Mr. John Saunderson, as in Saunderson, a labor consultant, he said, well, not many people actually really you know, take these days seriously in the way that we should. And possibly for you, how do you see how workers' day? Maybe sometime we must just get rid of those days. if they don't have any significance to people, or they have historical significance, I believe. So what significance that they had on what significance it has for you, and what, as I said, when it comes now to you as a person, where you work, do you think, you know, value your company, your workplace values your contribution? Do they value your contribution? And what role can you play in driving the change we all need? You also need to play a part. So 08-333-66 091. It's a number to call and have your reaction or your contribution on the show. So especially, how did you celebrate Workers' Day? What does Workers' Day mean? What does it signify? It signifies, because we may have now young people coming into a workforce, and they may not even know the history, how this day came about. Why do we celebrate Workers' Day? Is it just a day workers rest from going to work? So what does actually that day meant? Yeah. So we tie that to what the president have said yesterday. So we are reacting to her speech yesterday that she delivered on Workers' Day. So what do you think? What is your take of that? So come through. Our telephone number is always 333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha wutekirwa kabona iimatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa. Eto, moambo, dengera selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. And if you are just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, where we tackle the stories shaping our country's future. And you're welcome. You're welcome to your 24 hours talk radio station. So time is about 28 minutes, and we're just reacting to the president's address yesterday. The president has addressed the workers yesterday in Oshana region and highlighted a couple of issues which are has become kind of like things that she prioritized and focused her and want her administration to actually focus on. If you want to react on that, please do come through. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. The other things, they're also, I want us also to address an issue that strikes at the very heart of our society, the safety of our children. This conversation stemmed from a recent and deeply troubling tragedy, the brutal killing of two children and a young girl in Okahanja. In response, the United Nations has issued an urgent call for Namibia to prioritize the violence prevention, to prioritize violence prevention, psychosocial support, and child protection system. We are unpacking this article in today's edition of The Villager by Ngino Menmavali on UN urging Namibia to invest in violence prevention and psychosocial support. So I think these are heavy topics, but they are crucial. These are heavy topics, but they're very crucial. So let's look at what this means for Namibia and our children and our society, what the UN are proposing. So what are the key issues here? You know, this is, as I said, it's an article by Ngino Menmavali, in today's edition of The Villager. So let's look at some of those, issues that have been highlighted there. So, first we're looking at the violence prevention. Okay. One of the issue that had been highlighted is actually violence prevention. Now, I think when you think about violence prevention, this is not just about responding after a tragedy, okay? That's, you know, just respond when the tragedy hit, but addressing the root causes. I think you have to look in terms of now addressing the root causes, community-level intervention, like education, awareness campaign, engaging men in prevention effort, those are very important in when we're talking about violence prevention. You need to engaging men in prevention efforts. So those are vitals. And violence often, stem from a deep seated issues. Normally this, violence come from deep-seated issues or societal issues. Poverty, for example, substance abuse, a lack of emotional support systems. There are quite a lot of societal issues that it's not a justification of what people do, but we also have to take in account factors that actually contribute to this kind of crimes as well. So these factors, I think they don't exist in isolations. They are interwoven. Is that the right word? Interwoven. Yeah, they are interwoven. They are integrated. They are connected into the fabric of many Namibian communities. So poverty, substance abuse. And also, as I said, and which is very, 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 very important, a community, emotional support system, which we live in the world of individualism, and, the system, the African system, the communal supportive system that we know in African concept, in African philosophy, has eroded. So, lack of emotional support system. Many people are, if you have your problem, well, that's your issue. Deal with that. So I think those are things that, when we're talking about violence prevention, we have to take into account as well. Those things, when you talk about those are money. It's not just something that, you know, go and do, but it's also, it has to be part of the overall, plan and programs that the government put forth and, community organizations and the whole community as well. So, yeah. So preventing violence requires, as I said, it requires a collective effort. We need a cultural shift where safeguarding children becomes everyone's responsibility. It was like that. So a child is a child for the whole village. Even nanding no to tumata soko tumako ka no to druko tumaku kesum, you know? Womong kunamo. Yeah. So a child belongs to the village, not just to a household. So, and therefore, preventing violence requires a collective effort. So, and we need that cultural shift where safeguarding children becomes everyone's responsibility. So, not just the government in this case, but ours as parents, ours as neighbors, as teachers, and definitely as leaders. So, and then the article also talks about psychosocial support. The psychosocial support. This term, you know, it might sound technical, but it's really about providing emotional and mental health services to those affected by trauma, like a family. You know, of those three girls and others before that, they are going through a traumatic, event or experience. So children, families, and even the entire community. So, when we talk about psychosocial support, we're looking at providing emotional and mental services. Mental health services to those who are affected, and because that can become, if not attended to in that on that level, can also become what that would affect. You know, children would affect families, would affect our communities. So that's why the United Nations actually it's advocating. Or urging the government to really pay attention to that aspect as well. So Namibia's mental health infrastructure are also limited, and this is a major gap. So without that adequate support, survivors of violence, including now the children, can carry really the scars of trauma for life. So we need, it's something that I was also talking about earlier on in the first item, that those infrastructure don't come cheap. You need those infrastructure if you really need to change the situations. So currently, really mental health infrastructure in Namibia is very, 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 very limited. And I think we need to pay now attention to that, is seeing where we are going as a society. So, yeah. So addressing this really requires not just trained professional, but also community structures. It also needs community structures. It needs, faith-based organizations. It needs NGOs, it needs schools. So it needs everyone. To step up and provide a safe space for protection for our children, but also for healing as well. So, yeah. So the United Nations then, you know, it's really urging the government to pay attention to this. So imagine the difference it could make. I think every school have a life skill teacher, who actually normally act as the counselor. So, and imagine if the difference it could make if every school in Namibia had a counselor available, or if community centers provided free mental health workshops and things like that. So these are achievable goals, but they require investment and political will as well. So, we need to do this, because our communities in our society is really, I can simply put that it's sick. We are sick. We're absolutely sick, you know. And I think within our cultures also, we dismiss this kind of sickness, if you like. Some people tie to that. We talked about that in terms of poverty and other things, but mentally, you know, that you need also, we need also to address those kind of, because we see what is happening in our country every day, my dear. Seriously, think about this, man. It's so painful. Think about this. And it's really stab you in the flesh. It's kind of like you feel that pain in the flesh. What is going on? Now think about it. What is going on for someone to just, you know, get the child, you know, intentionally today? Do you think it's someone who's actually in right in their mind, you know, take a child from school, rape them, kill them? Jesus Christ. So it's something that's very serious. And look at the crime report. If you get a crime report of that, normally sometime you get over the weekend. Oh, how many rapes that you see in there? Rape and killing. Oh, of it really has become terribly worse. And we need to address those issues that the UN is actually highlighting here. So yeah. So the third issue is justice and accountability. The UN has highlighted the importance of a thorough and independent investigation into crimes against the children. So by justice in Namibia is often, you know, justice in Namibia is often it's often slow, and this delay can really undermine public trust in our legal system, because people may feel like, you know, nothing is being done. I think we also sometimes expect the certain cases to be accorded some kind of priority, just to give confidence in the community that the systems we have in place actually it works. Okay, so yeah, I think sometimes justice in Namibia is often slow. It's really often slow, and that needs to one need, as the United Nations saying, need to improve that. So we need to expedite. How do you say expedite investigation, and also ensuring that the perpetrators are held, are brought to book and are held accountable, and that can send actually a strong message. So violence against children will not be tolerated. So, yeah, but accountability is not just about punishing. It's also about prevention. So training police officers, prosecutors, judges, to handle gender-based violence cases with sensitivity and also urgency, is also a step towards building that a more responsive system. So yeah, and also the UN also focus on strengthening child protection system. The UN pointed out that Namibia is a signatory to key international treaties, such as the Convention on the Right of the Child. These treaties are not just symbolic, so they are binding agreement that obligate us to take actions. So Yeah, what does a strong child protection system look like in Namibia? So, and is it one where services like legal, social, and healthcare are accessible and well funded, you know? And maybe this is where now the UN also can come in. It's one where there's coordination, among stakeholders, from the government, ministry to community organizations, all working towards the same goal, protecting our children. So, yeah, right now, gaps in funding, the same thing that I said, infrastructure, implementation, which is actually the biggest disease we have in Namibia. Implementation is everybody. We are suffering from implementations. That's the biggest pandemic in Namibia. So implementation, as I said, gap in funding, infrastructure, implementation hinders the effectiveness of these, sometimes of these systems. Yeah. So the UN now has reminded us that this is an opportunity to act on existing recommendation from the international human rights bodies. So, and if you want to get more information on what the UN is, so please do subscribe to the Villager, and you will be able to get your to read your story in full. So what is the way forward? The UN has provided a roadmap, but it's up to really to us. It's up to us, Namibia, to follow through, if you like. Prioritizing children's safety and well-being, I don't think it's not just a moral obligation. It is an investment in our future. So it's so painful to think about. So yeah, maybe these are things, this is what we need to ask ourselves. How do we shift from reacting to more, how would I put that, to strategies, to proactively preventing them, you know? So, because much of this is now just reacting, can we have strategies, that are proactive in preventing this to happen? So rather than actually just reacting. So are we willing to demand more resources, as the UN say, more resources for psychosocial support to help our people and mental health services? Help our people that are actually going through this. And most importantly, how do we ensure that no child is left behind in the fight for safety and justice? We need to take, and it was very good to see everywhere, everybody. I think that's what you want to see, you know, across the country, that everybody participated and really show that we're not tolerating this. We're not tolerating this nonsense. All right. So this is a conversation that really requires all of us, government leaders, community members, family members. So, to reflect on our role and be able to take a collective action. Yeah. So yeah, my dear listener. So I want to leave you with this thought on this topic. So every child deserves to grow up. Every child deserves to grow up in a safe and nurturing environment. Every child seriously deserves to grow up in a safe and nurturing environment. So if we as a nation can guarantee that, if we can guarantee that, then we must question our priorities. Seriously, if we can't guarantee that, we need actually to question our priorities. So, what is your reaction to the UN urging the government to really to invest? What is your reaction? The UN urging Namibia to invest in violence prevention and also psychosocial support. So come through also on this item if you want to react on this. What's your take? Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Asherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, if you're just joining us, you are tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, and I'm Mike Chauvelli. So here we tackle the stories shaping our country on different levels. So yeah, today at in this we were just actually looking at the UN, the United Nations, urging Namibia's government and Namibia as a country to really invest in violence prevention and psychosocial support. This is also a story by Nino Minovali in today's edition of The Village, of The Villager. So make sure that you subscribe to The Villager and be able to have your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So what is your reaction? What do you think about this? This conversation, as I said earlier, stems from a recent and deeply troubling tragedy. The brutal killing of two children and a young girl in Okanja and many others as well before then. So, and I think in response to that, the UN, the United Nations, has now issued an urgent call for Namibia to prioritize violence prevention, psychosocial support, and child protection system. We just looked at in detail what violence prevention is, but put that in the context of Namibia, and how as other things I have said earlier on, implementation as a problem for many projects and other things in Namibia. So yeah. So what's your take of that? So and putting that in context where we say violence often also stem from other deep seated societal issues. We're talking about substance abuse, we're talking about unemployment, we're talking about poverty, we're talking about, you know, so there are so many things, lack of any other services that maybe, especially when it comes to emotional support system. So it stems from deep rooted societal issues, and it's not something in isolation. So you one have to look at, if you have to find the solutions, you have to look at some of all these factors, because they form that fabric of many Namibian communities. If you feel you have something to contribute on that, please do come through. Our telephone number again, 08333. We are in Ondangwa Studio, 08333 66 091. 08333 66 091. So this should be very, you know, and the whole idea, as I said, is something that one can be really, but, you know, that everybody was involved, that, you know, this is the first, more or less not the first time, I think the first time when we have, countrywide, almost everybody involved condemning, this killings. And preventing violence requires really a collective effort. So, and we need to shift. As I said, we need that cultural shift where safeguarding children becomes everyone's responsibility. So not just the government, but everyone, parents, neighbors, teachers, you know, leaders, everyone, you know. So, and the whole idea of psychosocial support, which is actually, providing emotional and mental health service to those affected by trauma. Could be children, could be families, could be, yeah. And even the community where these things happen, people are now living in fears. They are, as a community as well, is also traumatized. So yeah, those are some of the issues that we can also look at. Eager FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Oh, morning, Mr. Osovelli.
Good morning, man.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about some of these barbaric acts.
Yeah.
Very, very horrific indeed, and they really deserve some kind of condemnation.
Yeah, I know it does. Seriously.
Serious ones. And you know, especially these things are kind of conduct targeting the innocent children, innocent people,
yeah,
in society. The society is becoming so cruel.
Actually sick.
Very, very evil.
Yeah.
And like you said, it requires concerted effort indeed, and see how we can seriously coordinate our resources.
Mm.
You know, some of these things just require maybe not financial much.
Yeah.
Obviously, finance has to be involved, but it requires our energy,
mm,
seriousness to coordinate. Because even in community here, we still have children who are seriously neglected.
Yeah, definitely.
And everywhere, I'm happy that the leadership, the political leadership administration that we have now, and they are the one who have begun with those social issues, social safety net. And we need seriously to mobilize, because we sometimes the country really has money. I always quote to from one of my friends. The government may not have money, but the country has money.
Yeah, no, well, I think we have money. It's just sometimes it's just how the money is used. Yeah.
The way we manage it, you understand?
Yeah.
So we seriously need to start going out and start mobilizing for resources.
Yeah.
So when you get the energy, the people and things like that, organizing them. Because many times I see that we are not well organized, even in our community, even in town there.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that yes, there is, even I always hear those activists. I think this is now the time and say, okay, if UN is talking like this, and we are not just going to be reactive to this situation that are happening, because more and more are going to happen.
Mm.
So the measures like prevention, promotion, and all these things, I think those three strategies, they are in place.
Yeah.
There are a lot of existing policies and strategies and all these things within the government and the private sectors and in the base, community-based organization.
Yes.
So if we organize ourselves, will that be a really problem to get finance? If there is that sign a problem, the UN is calling, the UN has got the mandate.
Mm.
So then if you go to them and approach them in that manner, I'm just saying that for us to start preventing those things. Because it requires awareness creation.
Yeah, no, as you said, some of the activity might not actually require money. It's just required that that particular community, start to organize ourselves, in making sure that our children, our women, are actually an environment that they feel protected and safe.
Even when you were talking about, start from the beginning with you, I just came to, but what you were saying is that there are serious, violence.
Yeah.
The violent behaviors and all those deviances and things like that. Who is going to do those things?
Yeah.
So if we say yes, there were even this existing structure that like, what is it, men network or women network, those ones.
Yeah.
So, and there are many, many, many others where you can see now, these are young ones here, these are boys, and most of those young ones, they have gone to grade 10 or grade 12.
Mm.
So, when I went to utilize them within the community.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to seriously also knock on the door of the councillors and all those governors and say, fine, within this UN area and all these things, there are a lot of areas, development initiatives within the UN and all the communities. So where they can really put money there, let's organize ourselves here and our people, and then also now knock and say, yes, we have at least come up with some of these solutions,
yeah,
and we don't know how to implement them. Maybe we need technical know-how or whatever. And I think we can be able to prevent some of those risk violence.
Yeah.
So, Mike, let me end up here, my brother. Thank you very much. I think as we create more awareness,
yeah,
and we are happy, Kanjogam Kwanyo is on the front line there.
Yeah.
He's giving us a lot and many others. So let me thank you very much for those. Sir.
All right. No, thanks for coming straight as well. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. It is saddening, seriously. Where did we go wrong as a society, as a community, as a society? In particularly as an African society, where did we go wrong, seriously? as I said, if you listen to the list, when you look at the crime, crime report from the police, men, some fathers, you know, who are actually raping their own children. For God's sake. We have a mental health tomorrow. I think Mind Matters on Eagle FM. We have a show called Mind Matters, where we really go deeper into processes and social factors that actually contribute to why people behave in a certain way, why we made certain decisions. And I'm invite, really, I invite, especially men, I'm inviting you. You know, it's a program that I'm hosting. So I'm a behavioral analyst and a behavioral psychologist, you know, by profession. So please, do tune in, sometimes just, because, and other programs as well that others we have. Sometimes on life lessons and social times, we cover quite over the weekend. Sometimes we cover some of the topics that relate to social issues in our societies. Please do tune into these programs, because sometimes we have, beside ourselves, there are also other expectors that we bring on these shows as usual. So it is saddening, really, when, as I said, when you listen to crime report, much of the crimes that from there on the report are rape of small children, as young as 5, imagine, that sickness. And it's things that we shouldn't ignore. And it continues. These are things that are done by our own, by people that if the perpetrator is in your home, how do women and children actually live, safely in their own home? If now their fathers and brothers are the one that put them at risk. So if you find yourself really and going through stressful emotions or distressful situation, please seek help. Talk to someone you can trust, or especially go for professional help. And so that you can get help. We shouldn't tolerate that. And I said early on, I said one thing that we need to really, really, really to think as a society is that if we cannot guarantee, protection for our children, then it that's a big problem. So every child deserves to grow up in a safe and nurturing environment where they are happy. All that they need to worry about is maybe learning, you know, that's all what they need to learning and, you know, reading, and that's all what they need to worry about. So, and if we as a nation, can't really guarantee that. So we as a nation must question our priorities. We must question our priorities. And it shouldn't take UN to urge us to put up system that protect our own children. We should be able to do that, without money. As maybe Uncle Bono said, organize ourselves in our own community and set up systems, that not only preventing violence and and this kind of abuse, but also create a community, a supporting system for people that actually go through this. So, you're most welcome. That's our second item on the show. You probably would like to react on that if you want to. Our telephone number is 08333 66 091, 08333 66 091. So you are welcome to come through and have your contribution generally on the topic as well if you want to. So
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyawa, or Tango Gotisamwini, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Faithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefem Media House, Gwe 20 Pimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimopo yomo programa deto moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu datundatu heari jamano tano oniaji Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Welcome back, and our time is 12 minutes past the hour of 9, and the unpacking the day goes up to 9:30, so you still have a couple of minutes for you to come through if you want to share and contribute to what we have covered so far. So, but there's another thing. So yesterday, I was actually wanted to talk about this yesterday. I couldn't actually finish it. Maybe let me just waiting while you're coming through, and it was about the where am I? It was about, yeah, so it's about cyber security. This was also a story we covered, I think in our previous, today's Friday. I think on Wednesday is one, I think it's Wednesday edition of The Villager, and it's also a story by Nino Menmavali, Erastus. So, yeah. Now, according to the latest financial, stability report, Namibia is at higher risk of a cyber attack in 2025. So this is not maybe, or it could be, or something like that. It's a straight statement. It's a kind of like someone coming from someone who knows that Namibia is at a higher risk of cyber attack in 2025. It's like somebody warning you that this year we are not, you know, those things that shows the green, the yellow, and the red, So green is that, okay, nothing is happening. And then when you have the yellow, it's kind of like, okay, be ready. Yeah, there are movement, but, you know, it's not something that you should be worried about. And then when it's red, it means something is coming and you should be ready. So, yeah, it may sound like something out of the science fiction, science fiction movie, but it is real. It's real and it presents danger, and one that could have significant impact on our economy, on your personal finance, and also on our national security. So, yeah, now the Namibia's financial regulators recently released a report highlighting the two major threats to our financial stability for this year, which are global financial instability and cyber threats. So the cyber risk were given the highest probability of happening, and for good reason, of course, for good reason, because in the past year alone, several companies and government ministries have been victims of cyber attacks, exposing, you know, sensitive data and also disrupting, operations. So, but what does higher risk mean for us? You know, that the report says it means that not only are attacks likely, they're not just that they are likely, but they are also becoming sophisticated and harder to prevent. So they are coming, they are likely to happen, but they are also becoming that sophisticated and harder to actually detect and prevent. So from phishing emails, trying to steal personal information, to EFT fraud and even vulnerabilities caused by third party services providers. So the spectrum of cyber risk is broader and dangerous. Igor FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. What happened to frequency in Windhoek?
We would like to encourage people actually for now to download our Eagle FM app. Which one can be able to do it easily, and then from there one can be able to listen to us. So yeah, for now that's what we can encourage people to do. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when may we fix this problem? Because some of us, we don't have a smartphone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can't give you a precisely timeline. I can't give you a timeline. So, but all what I can encourage is people actually, for now, those who have actually smartphone, to download that. That's the only way they can be able to listen to us for now. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know even the topic that you are discussing today. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, we have been talking about the first of all, we looked at the president address yesterday. We were reacting to her address of the workers, and also, and the UN urges Namibia actually to prevent violence against children and put up systems that are protecting children.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was just talking about cyber attacks as well a few minutes ago. Yeah.
All right. Let me touch on the labor issue.
Yeah.
As we know in Namibia, our government they implement things that to protect the workers. End of the day, that implementation is to become useless because there is no one who can look after the implementation.
Mm.
I remember when he was there, I think 2017, 2016 there.
Yeah.
There were a law that was implementing these domestic workers, people working in the houses and so on, domestic workers, but end of the day, people are still suffering the increasement, whatever they supposed to done, this, that, it was not exist. So our government, they are good when it comes to implementation, but the reality or the act, it's not exist. So what we need to do, or the government need to do, after they implement the law or they come up with such a law, people who have a responsibility to look after that, they must make sure that what they implement is exist, it's working on the favor of the people that was made for them. So it does not help we implement things, but at the end of the day, people, they are still suffering. They are crying like a security guard, and our people that really in this country are suffering, and they are protecting worth of our economy. Yes.
So, what is the role then? What is the role then of the unions? Is it not to represent their members and be able to fight for their rights in terms when it comes to equal when it comes to their maybe improve their salaries and work condition and all that?
Yes, exactly. It's their roles, but you know, the system that we are in now. You can be a member of a certain union, and once you have a problem, you call them. Instead of come to meet the person that you call them, they are going to meet your boss first.
Yeah.
So after the boss, you end up fired, or you end up not answered your problem you had. You don't know what your problem you had. So the system at all, it does not work on the favor of the people. So I don't know whether we need to... We need the people that really have it, people on their heart, or we need to change the system of labor law. I don't know what is supposed to be done, but something must be done so that our people on the ground there, they be heard their voices, because...
But the people on the ground as well, the other thing is also that, you know, you have to be united, you know, as employee. Mm-hmm. If you yourself only one who raises the issue, and others are just waiting for things to change without really being involved, and then nothing will go anywhere. You know, if the employers of a certain company can really come together, can really united and demand what they need to demand, changes could happen. But if you have some who are not interested, or maybe afraid, or whatever the case may be, so definitely, you know, the few that are being that are protesting or that that are involved, they may even fired. So, but if you have a whole employers of certain company actually involved and having the same voice, you could be able to see a change. Yeah. And I think that we need to encourage that our employees not only maybe just join the union, but also us together, they can bring some changes.
It's true. They need to cooperate together so that they can fight together. Let me touch on the crime issue also quickly. The crime, we can only fight when we are serious in this country. You know, I can see now the situation of Kahanja. The way the force deployed in Okahanje. You can see clear that here we are not serious with it.
Yeah.
You cannot deploy people running around the town. You find these three or four cars following each other,
yeah,
and with a lot of officers. Who will do crime in front of the police?
Yeah.
So, I think that
to add to what you're saying, the question is, and how sustainable is that? How long you will be doing that? Will these people now would be employed to do that for now? Would that be now the case, or you're just doing it for this month and the next month there's nothing? And then, you know, the situation start to happen again? Yeah.
According to our president, when he addressed this issue, it was not specified exactly until when.
Yeah.
But he was saying that they are going to deploy police officer around Okahanja until the situation comes down. We don't know 1 month, 2 months, or the whole year.
But it's exactly what you're saying. The person wouldn't do crime while the police are there. once they are gone, once they are no longer there, then they come back again. You know?
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. Mm. My own idea to solve all this problem. I know that it's costly. It will cost a lot of money, but it will help us on the future.
Yeah.
Every town, maybe we must come up, or maybe they must come up with a CCTV camera.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I know it's expensive, but especially on the suburb area where the police they won't be there every time. Maybe the CCTV camera to be monitoring by the police everywhere. Even something you have done before the police comes, they can trace through that CCTV camera.
Yeah.
So maybe it will help. Or other things on this situation now, before the CCTV camera, maybe the police, they must patrol on a casual uniform. Instead of now, they are there, they are following one another, they are not exactly, but I don't think they will find any solution.
Yeah, I think a big, one of the solutions one we have to think is really, it's community policing.
Yes.
Instead of actually, like we have city policing in Mintik, but then we have also community policing in every town and in every,
and everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there must be some budget that are given to the constituency so that the constituency in their smaller towns and the villages, they can create this community policing, you know, and it focus on their need. Because if you, in the village, maybe they would know that, okay, there is more theft of gold and cattle here. So their main role of this police, community policing is to focus on that. In a certain town, maybe there is what is happening. There is more, crime in terms of house breaking and things like that. So, and then you see, you target your audience in that particular constituency. So. And the money should go to the constituency and be able, and these people are paid from the constituency, and serving the constituency, you know?
Yeah, that is also the idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because the way I see them patrolling there, they are just harassing people. I don't think they are going to solve any solution.
Yeah.
So, I think the idea that you have been spoken here, it will help also a lot.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It will help a lot, yes.
Yeah.
And CCTV camera around schools,
yeah,
around whatever. Don't suburb, man, where, like, you know, normally police, they are just around town. Yeah, but if you put cameras there where they are police, they cannot be every time.
Yeah.
It will also help.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
So we need to look at this very seriously, because if we, this story going like that, we are going to lose many lives here.
I mean, there are a lot of, these are just girls that has been killed, but when it comes to rape, when you look at the police report over the weekend, it's massive of many young people. And these are, it's done by their own fathers and brothers and cousins and uncles. You understand?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's there is something that need to be done. Not only in putting as we give this suggestion in terms of crimes, but there's also something that need to be done to help people, especially men, because they are going through issues that they need to be helped about. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, all right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
Enjoy your weekend.
You do too. Yeah, and that caller bring us to the end of unpacking the day today. Until Monday, Monday morning next week. My name is Mike Chauvelier, and I wish you a good listening through all our programs that are coming up, and coming up right away is Mind the Gap with Helmut. You know, until tomorrow, please join me tomorrow on Mind Matters at 11 o'clock. From me now, it's a bye bye until tomorrow.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as...